PG, if I can stay there.
You get older, your voice changes. Amen. So you have to adjust. Man, God is so good, isn't he? So good. Get this fixed.
It's my desire.
Let's go today.
It's my desire to live for Jesus. It's my desire to be like Him. So often I've failed Him, and I brought Him a shame. It's my desire to live for Him. If you could see where He brought me from to where I am today, then you would know the reason why I love Him so. Now you can take all the world's wealth and riches. I don't need earth's fame. It's my desire to live for Him. It's my desire to help someone today, someone who may have failed to see the way. For I too once I was lost, oh, but I found my way to God. And it's my desire to live for Him. Oh, if you could just see where Jesus brought me from to the place that I am today, then you would know the reason why that I love Him so. Now you can take the world and all of its riches, 'cause I don't need earth's fame. It's my desire to live for Him. Now you can take all the world, its wealth and its riches. I don't need earth's fame. It's my desire. It's my desire. It's my desire to live for Him. To live for Him.
desire to live for Jesus? That should be your number one desire. To live for Jesus.
Wonderful Jesus.
Galatians chapter 6.
Is this on? Yes. I want to read a few scriptures from Galatians chapter 6. Get set up here. I sent out texts to about 15 people and asked them to pray. I put it on Facebook, asked people to pray. And you know what? My pastor's even praying for this service this morning. Amen. So let's go for it. Chapter 6, let's start with verse 14 and go through 17. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy upon the God, or Israel, of God. Here's the key verse. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. You can be seated if you want to this morning. The New Living Translation, I usually don't use other translations. I love the King James Version. I was raised with the King James Version, and I just like it, and I have to check the new ones out according to the Hebrew and Greek, so why not just stay with King James? But I do like this translation. It says, from now on, don't let anyone trouble me with these things. These works of the flesh, whether circumcision, whether uncircumcised, was according to the law, and God did give them that law. But when Christ came, he brought a new covenant, and we're not under the old works of the law, for it's not by works that we are saved, it is through faith in Jesus Christ. So Paul's saying, let me alone. Leave me alone. Don't trouble me anymore about these matters. From now on, don't let anyone trouble me with these things, for I bear in my body the scars that show I belong to Jesus. Amen. And this word has been in my mind. I thought about preaching other messages. I have plenty of messages, but you got to go with what God gives you. And sometimes you don't want to preach some things that God gives you, but I'm just a mail carrier this morning. I'm working today. I'm delivering the mail. So it said, I bear in my body the scars. So that's the word. That's the title this morning. It's simply scars. A scar is a mark left on the skin after a wound or injury has healed. Scars are a natural part of the healing process. Most will fade and become paler over time, although they never completely disappear. Scars are a reminder of something, and most of the time a scar reminds us of something unpleasant. Scars are not unusual because there are many people who have scars all over their body. And for every scar they have, it indicates that something bad has happened. Remember that. Why couldn't God have made the flesh so that it wouldn't scar when it's torn? Why couldn't he just make our flesh so it wouldn't scar when it's torn? For example, I better not do that. I was going to have everybody stick out your tongue. You better keep it in your mouth. For example, the tongue has a certain type of tissue that does not scar when it is torn. I didn't know that. In fact, the tongue does not have scar tissue. It doesn't matter how many times you may bite your tongue, and I bite my tongue occasionally. I must have something out of whack or I'm eating too fast. And you can tell that. And that's a shame in my case. But God has fixed it so that the tongue can virtually repair itself. That's amazing. And when it does, it leaves no scar. However, there's always a however or a but. The only scar that the tongue could possibly leave is when you use your tongue to speak against your brother or your sister. It doesn't leave a physical scar, but it leaves a scar. And almost every one of us have some sort of physical scars on our bodies. It might be from a sports wound. It might be from a surgery cut in your body. It might be from where you've been in war, in the Army or the Navy or whatever branch of service you was in. You may have been wounded and you may have scar from war or some kind of an accident. You may have some scar on your body. How many have some scars on your body this morning? Just about everyone. I remember when I was 7, 8, or 9, somewhere along in there. Mom, once a week, and most of you know, I'm the 14th child. There's 15 of us. Of course, the last one died a few hours after she was born, so I was the baby, the living baby. Wasn't the true baby, but sometimes Charlotte says I'm still a baby. But that's okay. I enjoy life, and I like to cut up and carry on and have a good time. You know, I came here was under Brother Rex Hudson, under the MIP, so he kind of rubbed off on me. But at any rate, Mom got there for a season that she'd go to the store once a week, and she bought us a carton of those 16-ounce Pepsis in the bottle. You remember those when you took your bottles back and you got deposits back on them? Well, me and my brother Randall and my next oldest sister, Charlotte Faye, we took turns going out and packing that carton of Pepsi in. It was a delight for us to, I get to carry it this time. It's my turn. It was my turn to go get the Pepsi. And sometimes you get moon pie. You know, I know RC goes with moon pie. Bologna and cheese sandwich. That was our treat on Saturdays. But I grabbed that carton of Pepsi, and I was so excited, and I was just running back to the house. I got the Pepsi, and I tripped, and I fell. And one of them Pepsis busted and split my hand right there. I can barely see it now, but there it is. Put a big old scar right down through there. Of course, Mom took care of me, and I went and laid down on the couch. She dressed it up and whatever she did to it, and I started crying. She said, "Honey, it's going to be all right. It's not that bad. You didn't hurt yourself that bad." I said, "Mom, I'm not worried about me. I'm worried about the Pepsi." But that was a scar. And Dad had me chop out the weeds in the garden. And I've been in the garden ever since I was big enough to hold a hoe. But one night... before the next day, he told me, "I want you to go chop out the weeds tomorrow while I'm at work. And I want you to have it done when I get back." So I went, got the hoe, and went out to the garden to chop the weeds. Never use a hoe barefooted. I still got a big old scar on that big toe right there where I missed the weed, and the hoe skipped and cut my toe. That's a scar. That brings back memories, doesn't it? And I went through the kitchen one day in another place where we live, a little older. You know, some kids aren't too smart. And I went through the kitchen, and, And as we come out the side door on the back side, on this side of the house, there was an extension. There was another door that went into a little room before Mom's bedroom. And I thought, hey, somebody's put up a new screen door. You remember screen doors? So I thought, I'm going to try it out. I went over there and pulled on our door. Bam! Hit me right in the middle of the head. Nobody had the hinges. And I have a scar right there. I've had surgery on my shoulder. Got scars. I've got scars. We've all got scars. And those are just a few of the memories. But marks here in the scripture where it says, I bear the marks in my body, is the Greek word stigma. It is to stick or prick. A mark, incised, or punch is branded for recognition of ownership, a scar of service. But what about emotional scars? Now come on. All scars are not physical. It's easy to see physical scars and wounds. Emotional wounds and scars are not easy to detect. Some emotional scars are wounds in desperate need of treatment, but have been ignored for years. Ignoring these type of scars and wounds may result in serious psychological damage. It is important to not only recognize when you have emotional wounds, but also know what is needed to heal the hurt. Many of us hold on to situations. We hold on to circumstances. We hold on to thoughts. We hold on to mindsets. We hold on to trauma in our lives. Long after it has become obvious, we are still being damaged. We are still being damaged long after the event has occurred. We are still being damaged by that trauma. All because scars are like that. They are reminders of hurt. They are reminders of pain. And they are reminders of our trials and tribulations. And sometimes they are even reminders of some sin in our lives. Scars remind us that sin is painful. Ask any doctor and they will tell you that a scar does not always appear at the very moment of the event that caused the scar. It takes us a while for the scar to make its appearance. Physically, there are ways to cover up or hide our scars. You can only apply concealing makeup. Now, I've always said sometimes you need to cover the side of a barn. But scars, we can cover them up with makeup. We can camouflage those scars and conceal them. But you can have cosmetic surgery that offers a more permanent solution, but sin always leaves a scar in our lives. And all our sins are known to God. You may conceal your sin from me. You may conceal your sin from your pastor, but honey, you're not going to conceal your sin from God. And sometimes may become known to many others, your sin. The scars of sin remain for life. And the only way to prevent the scars is to prevent the sin. There is no makeup or cosmetic surgery available when it comes to the scars of sin. Jesus Christ is your only answer. Proverbs 28 and 13 tells us, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. I'm so glad of the mercy of God this morning. I'm so glad of the mercy it endureth forever, and it is renewed every morning. Sometimes I wonder, why does he have to renew it every morning? Because we use it up. We use up his mercy. I need his mercy so bad. I am frail and I'm a wicked and I'm not wicked, but I'm just
flesh and my righteousness is as filthy rags in His sight. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. But, there we go again. But consequences remain. God is merciful, but He will also leave you a reminder of your sin. Consequences are going to remain for you again. Sin, you have a right to choose. We're a free moral agent. We can choose what to do in this life. We can choose to serve God and we can choose to serve the devil. And you can choose sin, but you're going to have a consequence. It brings about a consequence. There was a man when I worked at Blackburn Prison over in Lexington. I worked there almost 4 years. And he had become a Christian while he was there in prison, praise God. And we'd become good friends. He would come by and we'd talk about the Lord and talk about the scriptures. And he said, I want to ask you something. He said, how come is it that I have done bad things, I have sinned, but God has forgiven me? I said, well, praise God. He said, but man has not forgiven me. Why do I have to still stay in this prison? I said, it's because you're reaping what you sowed. It's because of the consequences of your decision. I said, but God is faithful and God will help you and God will be merciful to you and help you along the way. So don't give up the faith. But God is merciful, but He will also leave us a reminder of our sin. Physical scars on the outside are something, but the scars, both emotional and spiritual, on the inside are something else. The inward scars are much more serious than the scars that I have on my body. They're more serious. The inward scars are more serious. These inward scars usually do not come until much later in life and not only affect us, but can also affect those we love and gives us more reason to seek God's help. No matter what you've been through, no matter where you've come from, no matter what you've done, seek God's help. As painful as they may be, these inwardly and outward scars serve a very important purpose. Now I want to get more to the meat of the message. Scars remind us not to make the same mistakes again. God uses our failures to make us stronger. We can be stronger in the Lord. Yes, we may have slipped up and sinned and we may have failed God. And that's to our shame. Oh, but God can't forgive us. Paul said, little children, I say that you sin not. He said, but if you do, you have an advocate with the Father through Jesus Christ the righteous. Hallelujah. Get it took care of. Don't waller in your sin like a hog wallers in the mud. Get up out of your sin. Get up out. Let God take care of it. Let God wash it away. Amen. And let those situations in your life make you stronger. Stronger. We're stronger. The righteous. Oh, the righteous, Brother Gordon, are as bold as a lion. Amen. When the Spirit comes upon you, when the anointing comes upon you, David said, I can run through a troop and I can leap over a wall. Hallelujah. I thought he was coming to get me. I'm having fun. I love preaching. Amen. Theodore Roosevelt said, the only man who never makes a mistake is the man who never does anything. So don't be afraid to launch out for God. Don't be afraid. Henry Ford said, Ford, the guy that created the Ford cars, you know, found on the road dead, or first on race day, which one is it? He said failure was the opportunity to begin again, more intelligently. So learn from your mistakes. We should never keep looking at our physical, emotional, and spiritual scars as something ugly and unsightly, and decide that it is too late. It's never too late. It's never too late. God can forgive you of anything except for blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. He can forgive the murderer. He can forgive the doctor that did abortion. He can forgive the drug addict, the drunkard. He can forgive the person that thinks they're morally right, but they haven't accepted Jesus. Because we're all born into sin, and there's none good but God. So never make the same mistake again. Psalms 37 and 24 says, even though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholdeth his hand. The scars remind us that the mistakes we make are worth learning from. God gives us a physical, emotional, and spiritual process to assist us with the scars of life. Scars of life are difficult to deal with, but we must move on. Sometimes those same scars seem to hinder us in trusting and loving ourselves. Even worse, trusting in God. You ever hate yourself for what you've done? You've done God so bad you can't forgive yourself. If God's forgiven you, then forgive yourself. Pick up your bootstraps and go on. Keep on moving on. And we become fearful of allowing ourselves to love and to be loved again. We need to love, and we need to love again. If we view it in the way that Paul viewed it in the text, we will come to the conclusion that God will not ask to look over your resume. He will not ask you what kind of experience do you have. He will not ask you about the church you attend and who is the pastor or how popular he is. He will not look you over for your medals. He won't look for your degrees or for your diplomas, but God will look for your scars. Paul viewed his scars in that he knew Christ, suffered for him. Therefore, Paul was willing to suffer for Christ. 2 Corinthians 11, 18 through 28 in the Bible, if you want to turn there very quickly. I have it marked and I can get there. So if you just want to listen to me, whatever you want to do. 2 Corinthians 11, 18 through 28. Wherefore, because I love you. That's not right, is it? 11, 18 through 28. Yeah. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers be also transformed into ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exhaust himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though he had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, more measure in prisons, more frequent in deaths, D-E-A-T-H-S, often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I many, 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, that means trouble, dangers, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, and watchings often, in hunger and thirst, and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Wow. Wow. He's been there. Beside all these things that I've gone through and I've suffered through, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, I've got the care of all the churches. Man, we can make it. We can make it, even though we're troubled, even though we're delusional sometimes. And it seems like God's not on our side, or God's not listening to us. I want to tell you this morning, God's got our back. He's got your back, honey. He loves you. You're a child of the Most High God, and He's got your back. Paul Scars preached a powerful sermon and told a story that no one could deny. His scars represented the fact that all things work for the good to those who love the Lord. God chose to turn the ugly marks of our trials and tribulations into a badge of honor. The scars on Paul's body were branding marks, just like cattle. There was a time that slaves were branded on their flesh in order to show ownership. But Paul has subjected his body. He has subjected his body so much and suffered so much persecution in the name of Jesus Christ until his body was scarred up by the opposition, and yet he still stood. He still stood strong, and he still proclaimed for the grace and mercy of the Lord. There are people out there who want you just to shut up. Just shut up talking about this Jesus. Just shut up talking about your religion. Just shut up talking about God. Well, Jeremiah, they didn't listen to him. He preached God and he preached repentance to them and tried to get the nation of Israel to repent. And he thought about it for a while, and he thought in his mind, he said, I'm just not going to preach in the name of God anymore. I'm just not going to mention it anymore. I'm going to give up. But oh, he said, I could not give up. I could not give up. I could not hold back anymore, for it was like fire and it shut up in my bones. It shut up in my bones. I gotta tell it. I've gotta preach it. I gotta testify to the world about Jesus and about God and His saving grace. Hallelujah. We've got to teach it. We've got to preach it. We've got to live by example. Amen. Even those we've been hurt and we've been wounded, and you've not let go of those words. Get rid of those things in your past life and get it corrected. Amen. And let God heal you this morning. I'm running out of time. How many ate before they come to church? So you're hungry and you're wanting to go. Okay. My goodness. Well, I just covered half a page there, so. But you see, our scars, if we're working for God and we're working in His kingdom and we get wounded in the service of the Lord, amen, God can heal those wounds. He can heal those scars, and they are a badge of honor. They're a badge of honor. And there are documented proof that we are indeed worthy of being called a child of God. And in the light of God's purpose, scars are beautiful trophies. God has a plan for your scars. God has a plan for the things that you've gone through. I went through a deep, dark depression a few years ago. And I didn't want to live anymore. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I just hung out in the house. I didn't even go outside for 2 weeks. I was in deep depression. Didn't feel like anybody cared for me anymore. Nobody loved me anymore. But God healed those wounds. God healed those wounds. Amen. He's made me stronger than I've ever been. He's anointed me more than I've ever been because I turned to Him. I turned to Him. I let Him reach down in those wounds. Psychologically and mentally and spiritually, they wasn't physical wounds. They were wounds that touched me psychologically and mentally. But God is no respecter of persons this morning. He will heal you. He will touch you just the same as He did me. Man, I'm tearing all these notes up. God, you're tearing all these notes up. I don't care. If you have scars, then praise God for them. Because He's given you a means to show the world how that God takes care of us. And how that God heals us through any means He chooses. We have maybe been hurt and criticized and evil spoke of. And even people in the church may criticize us and treat us bad. Through the years, we have developed scars because of all this. But they remind us of our failures. They remind us of God's victory over sin, of His grace and mercy toward us, and of His provision for our lives. God doesn't give us scars to remind us that we have been hurt. God gives us scars to remind us that we have been healed. That we have been delivered. And that we have been set free. Glory to God. Although Paul endured attacks upon his ministry, he reminded the Galatian church that his scars showed that he belonged to Jesus. Will you come to the music? Come on. I'm going to quit. Don't feel like quitting. My goodness. Thank God for scars. They may look ugly to some, but to the child of God, they are so beautiful because God has healed those deep wounds. Scars don't come from a scratch. If you bow your heads all over the place, please. Scars don't come from just being scratched. Scars come from a deep wound. But scars are symbols of your strength. And don't ever be ashamed of the scars that life has left you with. A scar is a wound that has been healed. A scar means the hurt is over. I want to say that again. I want you to get it in your spirit. I want you to get it in your mind. God's telling me right now to tell you that the hurt is over. No more. You don't have to deal with it no more. I'm going to heal you this morning, says the Lord. It's over. I'm closing up the wound. I'm healing your wound this morning. I'm covering it up. And I would say to you this morning, quit picking at your wound. Quit pulling the scab off. Let it heal up. You keep going back to the same old wound that's causing you trouble in your spiritual life. You're picking at that wound. You're pulling the scab off.
Leave it alone. Let God heal it. Let God heal it. Let him put on the healing salve of God in that wound and let it heal up. The devil would want you to keep picking at that womb and reopen that womb and keep reopening that womb and keep reopening that wound, that past hurt, that past situation. And he don't want you to heal. He wants to kill you. And you don't know, my friend, how the devil may be coming against you, but quit picking at your wound. Quit reopening that wound. It won't heal. Will you play something, please? If you have wounds, let God heal them. God can deliver and heal your wounds. And he can make them scars of victory. I know you're here this morning. You say, well, that's not me. I know there's someone here this morning, God told me there were. That's why I'm preaching this message, because he wouldn't let me get away from him. We've all been hurt. But some of us haven't let God heal those hurts. Some of us hasn't let God touch us and make us new again. You're here, I know you are. There may be one, there may be more, but I know there's at least one. Because God dealt with me about it. And I'm trying to be sensitive right now. Lead me, Holy Spirit. Lead me, Lord Spirit. Come to me, thus saith the Lord. Come to me with your hurts. Come to me with your bondage. Come to me with your frustrations. Come to me with your deep wounds that you have never let me heal. Quit bringing them up in your mind. Quit bringing them back in your mind and in your spirit. Let me heal your wounds this morning. You cannot go forward in me until you let me heal your hurts and let me heal your situations that you've gone through, that you are hindering, letting them hinder you in walking with me. Come right now. Come right now. Play, please. Come right now. Don't hesitate. Come right now. If I was hurting, if I've been wounded, if I had been wounded, I would come right now. I would come right now, because as soon as God heals you, he's going to use you. He's going to use you in the kingdom work. He's going to anoint you like a prophet this morning. He's going to use you mightily. He's going to use you greatly if you just let him heal and bind up your wounds. Will you come? Will you come this morning? That's all I know to say. That's all I know to do. God's here to heal you. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Don't say people's going to look at me and look down upon me. I believe everyone here loves everybody. And there's not one person here this morning that has not been hurt and has not gone through some kind of situation, some kind of trouble, so they can't look down their nose at you this morning. I'm pleading with you.
The Holy Spirit is pleading with you this morning. Let Him heal your wound. Please, let Him heal your wound. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you so much. Okay, I'm going to make it easy for you. If you're afraid, if you're backwards, I'm going to ask the church to come. Slip up with the church and come with them. Slip up with the saints this morning and come with them. And let God touch you this morning. Let God heal you this morning. And if you're here this morning lost without Jesus, if you're not a Christian, I don't know everybody. I don't know everybody's life. But if you're here this morning without God, you can have a joyful life in Jesus Christ. He will forgive you of your sins if you ask Him to. He will come into your heart and make you a new creature in Christ. And old things will be passed away, and you will experience new things in your life. You'll experience the joy in your life. You will experience peace and happiness because you've turned your life over to Jesus. Will you come? Whatever you have need of this morning, come and let's call out to God this morning.
Sometimes the troubles seem. Sometimes it takes a desert just to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger. Whatever troubles me, sometimes it takes a mountain just to trust you and me. I faced a mountain that I'd never faced before. That's why I'm calling on you, Lord. I know it's been a while, but Lord, please hear my prayer.